I just want to begin by reading a short verse from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 21, I think it is. Isaiah 21, and if you've got the same Bible, it's on page 858. If not, you'll find it, Isaiah chapter 21, and the verses I want to read, verse 11, partway through, verse 11. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire, return. These words were written hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, we could even say. They were at a time in the world's history when things were dark, and it prompted the one questioning here to speak to the watchman. I don't know if you understand much about watchmen. They were found in the olden days. They were men who were watching for the signs of the times, men who were perhaps positioned at the gates of the cities to look out and look out for danger coming, look out for what was happening and give a warning. And you find, particularly in the Old Testament, many references to watchmen. They were often the prophets. Isaiah was one. We find him here in this passage. He is the watchman that is being asked a question about what of the night. But while it was yet many hundreds of years ago, that question is just as valid today. And the conditions that mark the world that you and I are living in today are not much different to the time that we're reading of here, when Isaiah was the watchman. And today there are many, like myself, preaching the gospel message tonight. They are watchmen. They are looking and seeing what there is around, and they're giving a warning. I trust it's God's warning that I'll be giving to you tonight. But it's a warning that has a positive message, because it's a warning that is true and accurate. It comes from God. And I'm going to base what I say tonight on this verse that we've just read and apply it to today. So the watchman is asked, what of the night? If we look around the world today, it's pretty dark, isn't it? The situation that faces many people in the world is one of hopelessness, no hope. I had a lady in my car the other day. I was taking her and her son to the hospital. She said to me, she said, do you think another world war is about to start? Do you think it's coming? I said, well, I don't think it's going to happen right away, but I said, we're very close to something that is like a world war. We're close to the end times, when God is about to bring judgment upon this world, the world that has largely rejected him. So it's like a night time. And the man who asked this question, he says, what of the night? He asked it twice. Watchman, what of the night? Are you querying what is happening today? Are you inquiring how it will all end? Are you making that inquiry? Well, the watchman here had an answer. He said, the morning cometh, and also the night. I just want to briefly say a little about that before I get into the meat of the message. There is a morning coming. The morning to me is the return of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's spoken of in the scriptures as the morning star. It's already risen. The signs are there. The Lord Jesus is coming. And I'm waiting for that. The morning is coming. And the watchman began with that wonderful hope in his message, in his answer. The morning is coming. There's an opportunity still today to take advantage of the Lord Jesus being available to you as a Saviour. God has provided the Saviour of the world. Isaiah knew what it was. His name means Saviour. Salvation is of God. I think that's what it means. So he knew what he was talking about, this watchman, chosen by God to bring a message to the people. And I know that the Lord Jesus is coming again. It's in God's word. It's his promise. I will not leave you as orphans. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I am coming to you. And he closes the very word of God that we've got. Says, I come quickly. That's the Lord Jesus' final words to us in the scriptures. He's coming. The morning is coming when he will arise as the Son of Righteousness. That's a day that is going to happen very soon. But today, God is presenting him as the Savior of the world. He's still available as the Savior. The morning cometh. He will arise, he will come, and he will take all those that have put their faith and trust in him to be with them forever. That's a hope. So the watchman begins with that, but then he says, and also the night. There is an opportunity today to take advantage of the Saviour of God's providing, the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you more about him in a minute. But just remember that that opportunity is only given to you now. Now is the day of salvation. You may not have it tomorrow because there's also the night. There's a time coming when the Lord will come, will take all those that have put their trust in him away out of this world. And what will be left? An awful time when God begins to unleash his judgments on the world, when Satan will actually begin to intensify his activities in the world to rob God of everything that he possibly can. He can't rob him of the church because the church will already have been taken to glory. But he will do his best to rob him of any more. And that period is what's, I think, referred to here. The night also is coming. And when the night comes, it will be too late for you then. Lord Jesus will not be available to you as the Saviour. You will have spurned tonight's message, for example. If you're listening to me tonight, you have an opportunity to come to Jesus. So the watchman began his message like that. The morning cometh, but the night also. There's a warning there. There's hope, but there's also a warning. And I would just like to begin with that so that you're well aware of that. But then he goes on to say this marvelous little sentence. If ye will inquire, inquire. Now is the time to inquire. Now is the time to come to God, to listen to what he is saying, and to ask him, return, come. So I just want to turn to the New Testament and refer to someone who inquires, someone who returns, and something about coming. First scripture is in Acts chapter 16. You probably know what I'm going to say. Acts chapter 16 describes a time when two preachers, if you like, two watchmen, were preaching the way of salvation. Acts chapter 16 verse 17 reminds us that these men, Paul and Silas, are bondmen of the Most High God who announced to you the way of salvation. And then in verse 25, we find that because they were announcing the way of salvation, they've been put in prison. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook. And all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And now this is the verse he inquires. Leading them out, said, sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Well, another very succinct and short message. This was a man who had made two prisoners locked them in the prison, put them in the stocks, because they'd been preaching the way of salvation. This jailer, he must have had some knowledge of what that way of salvation was that was being preached. I expect there'd been inquiries as to it, things said about it. But nevertheless, he put them in prison. Then this earthquake came. And it was as a result of Paul and Silas, I think, they'd been praying in their situation that they were in. They were praying, and it was with praising. They were almost giving thanks for being put in that position as prisoners. It wouldn't have been very nice either. The conditions wouldn't have been great. Roman prisons never were. And there they were, praying and praising God with singing. And the prisoners were listening. No doubt those songs were also speaking of the way of salvation. No doubt the jailer heard something of them. And he began to inquire within himself. And then when this earthquake happened, he thought that he was going to be killed, and he was going to kill himself because he wanted to end his life quickly, not relishing the prospect of the way he would have been killed if he'd let his prisoners all escape. But Paul intervenes. He says, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." All the prisoners were safe and had been kept, even though their bonds were all loosed. They could have easily run away, but they were all kept together. Remarkable. And the jailer rushed in and he asked that question, "What must I do that I may be saved?" You can tell how much that way of salvation was playing on his mind. He needed that salvation for himself. Do you feel that need tonight? You young ones, have you asked God to save you? Have you come to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to save you? The answer is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that's all that Paul had to say. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Why could he say that? Why can I say that? And why is it as simple as that? It's because Jesus has promised us that it's only by him, through him, that you can be saved. What did he say? "I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he will be saved." What a promise that is. That's the certainty with which I can say that this answer is just as true today as it was when Paul spoke it. "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." There is no one else that can save you. No other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Peter says that in one of his first preachings. And so the answer is simple. If you inquire, inquire, and you will find that the answer is the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The other reason I can tell you why you'll be saved is because he's laid down his life for you. Some of us were considering that this afternoon. You and I are like sheep that have gone astray. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And he says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, he did that of himself. You might think that, I know he was put on a cross. I know all about that. We've just gone through Easter. We know all about what that happened, you might say to me. But do you recognize that he wasn't nailed there? That wasn't the reason that he ended up on the cross. He went that way willingly. He offered himself. And he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. He shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary so that you and I might be able to believe on him. He did that for you if you believe on him. And that blood that was shed is what cleanses you from your sins. It's nothing that you do. There's no work that you can do that will ever get rid of the sin that is in you. It can only be removed by the blood of Jesus, by believing on him and what he has done. The wonderful thing is that that promise, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved," has never changed and never will while he is available. While it's the morning cometh, you have that Saviour available to you. Please, don't let today go by without that, your own personal knowledge that you have believed and committed yourself to Jesus and accepted that he has died for you, and you will be saved. And if you're older, if you've got a family, there's a promise here too, thou and thy house. The jailer accepted it, and we do know that he took it to heart. He received Paul and Silas into his house. He provided for them. He rejoiced with all his house, and they were all baptized. What a wonderful thing that was. So there was blessing as a result of an inquiry. That's the first thing that the watchman said. If you will inquire, inquire. Well, make that inquiry today and come to the Lord Jesus and accept him. Then the next thing he said is return. And so immediately my thoughts went to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. What a wonderful example of a son that returned. We think we know this parable. The whole chapter of Luke's 15 is a parable, split into three parts, you might say. But the part that I'm thinking of is the one of the younger son, the man who had two sons. Begins at verse 11. It continues all the way through to the end of the chapter, this part of the parable. As you know, the son, he went away. He wanted to have everything that was owed to him by his father, that he would eventually have inherited. And he went away and he lived in the world as it was then, and a violent famine arose. It was another period which you might refer to as a night. He must have had that same thought that we read of earlier. What of the night? What has come to me? And it said in verse 17, coming to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine? I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose up and went to his own father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondman, bring out the best robe and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. Well, I'm sure this passage is well known to all of us here. I don't need to say too much more than what I've read. What a picture it paints of one who responded to that call to return. It came to him of all of his own accord. The watchman said, return. This man came to himself. And he knew that where he was, the situation was hopeless. He had not many more days to survive. But he knew where there was food. He knew where he should be. And he therefore said, I will rise up and I will go to my father, and so on. He'd hardly begun his journey home. The father was looking out for him. The father was like a watchman. He was there watching for his return. And you know, we need to look out for those that perhaps have gone astray, perhaps have ignored the message of salvation. Are they returning? Run and greet them, welcome them, just as the father welcomed his son. What a wonderful greeting that was. Despite how he would have been, his condition, he fell upon him and covered him with kisses. The son began to speak to his father and had prepared his speech, shall we say, and he was expecting really not very good treatment. He wasn't expecting much at all. He wasn't expecting to go back to how he was and how things had been. But just think about what happened. He was treated like royalty. he was brought in and given the best robe, completely forgiven. Not a word was said about all that he'd spent, all that he'd lost, all that he'd wasted, and all the time that he'd wasted, and he was brought back in. You know, I don't know if you've ever resisted God's attempts to speak to you, if you've ever turned away, run away from God, I don't know. But the watchman would say, return. The preacher tonight says, return. And this illustration shows you what you can expect. God will welcome you with open arms. The Lord Jesus will receive you. He'd been speaking about receiving sheep earlier. He will do that. He will go out of his way to find you. And the moment you start your return, the Father there saw him and was moved with compassion. Jesus will be like that to anyone who returns today. Well, simply, I would say, don't put off the moment. Remember the warning, the night also is coming. This young man had not much time. He recognized it and he returned while he was able to. And what a welcome he had. So he had the best robe, he had the sandals on his feet and the ring. He was really restored as a son. And he was restored in even better position than he had before. What he was given, what rejoicing there was. The Father said, this my son was dead and has come to life. That's another promise that the Lord Jesus has made. I am come that ye might have life and might have it abundantly. And that's, again, why we can say with confidence that you will be treated in exactly the same way as you return to Jesus tonight. May you do so. And may you know something of the joy that was seen in this house. They began to make merry, it says. And what joy was sustained. I don't think it ever ceased being a house of joy after that moment. Well, the final thing that the watchman said was, come. And I will just simply end on that. I'd turn to the very end of the Bible, the last page of the Bible, Revelation 22. And I just want to leave you with that little verse. And let him that is athirst come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's the end of verse 17. There we have the Lord Jesus. He speaks of himself as, I am the root and offspring of David, reminding us of who he is, the greatness of his person, both the root and the offspring. Marvelous to think that Jesus was there from the beginning as the Son, there as the one who was with God, the Word was God, was with God, right before the worlds were created, and everything that had being was given that being through this Blessed One, who became known to us as Jesus, the one who became a man, the one who entered into this world as the offspring of David, as well as the root. But he's spoken of here as the bright and morning star. The morning cometh, reminded of it again. There are those that are saying, come. There are those that are like the watchman. There's the Spirit and the bride. Those that are the believers. The church today is saying, come. Oh, that it would be more fervent in saying, come. Oh, that you and I were more fervent as believers on the Lord Jesus in saying, come. Let him that hears say, come. You know, you can hear the gospel tonight and you can immediately go out and invite others to come. How wonderful it is. But then the appeal is to the one who needs to hear it. Let him that is athirst come. And that appeal goes out. It may be the last appeal you'll ever get, ever opportunity you'll get to come. And truly, you must be thirsty tonight if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. What satisfaction can you find in the world as it is today? Nothing, I would suggest. If you do find satisfaction, is it long-lasting? Will it survive all that may yet come upon this earth? No, I'd suggest it will not. But if you come today, you can come to Jesus, the one who has the water of life, and he would freely give it. If only you had known the gift of God, the Lord Jesus said to the woman that was at the well at Samaria, you would have asked of him and he would have given it to you. Well, you can come tonight and Jesus would give you of the water of life freely, may you do so, and may you enter into the wonderful joy of salvation and the knowledge that for you there's only the morning, there's not the night, because Jesus will be your morning. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.